everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Happy Friday, kiddos. Your boy's back today. We've got the Cowboys still in a standoff. A lot of yapping, zero yeehaw. College football has finally returned. And Osaka versus Coco, that means Yates family reunion on Saturday, kiddos. We got Woodrow. We got Stu. We got Kevin. And we got Diana, Marie, Giovanna, Rossini. Let's get it.
You got to see why.
Is there a doctor in the house? The Dallas Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott still don't have a deal, and we're 9 days away from the season beginning against the Giants, but Jerry Jones wants to know that he has scrubbed in.
I'm operating as though right now it's going to be a regular season game. My entire expectation for what we're putting together as a team right now would anticipate with him holding out and not having made any training camp that he's going to miss preseason games, that he's going to miss games. I just accept that.
The fines are racking up for Zeke. See, of course, Jerry's operating. But Diana, what are we to take away from the fact that Jera doesn't even think this is a big deal at this point?
Clinton, forget about the fines. That'll be taken care of if he comes back. But for Jerry Jones, this is personal at this point. Zeke and his representation, they put the owner, or at least backed him up against the corner around the SB time, announced, I want a new deal here. So now he's putting his team in a bad spot. And this is all about guaranteed money. This is an owner who has stood by his player. He's dealt with the fact that he has behavior issues. And we know it's going to probably happen again. And Jerry Jones knows this. So when it comes down to it, at some point, Zeke's side has to go, you know what? The Cowboys could potentially have my rights for the next 5 seasons. They've got the leverage. So I think Jerry Jones, he's playing this right.
KB, you spent a lot of time in Dallas. What do you think is going on with Jera and the rest of this squad?
Well, I think he's playing it absolutely wrong. Look, first of all, he built this team around Zeke Elliott. That's the cornerstone of the team. He's been the best running back behind the line of scrimmage with the football in the past 3 seasons. All right? He catches 77 balls out of the backfield last year for this team. He is everything for this team. Let's not even forget that he impacts the defense because they're 5th in possession in the NFL, which means the defense is rested and they get to play with their ears strapped back, right? So they got to play this the right way, and the right way is to pay him if you want to be a real team this year. And now the fact of the matter is that, yeah, he's going to miss some games. I'm going to say that he's going to miss the first 3 games, and then when they have to play the Saints, the first real big dogs on the schedule, you're going to see Zeke back in the backfield. Right. That's what needs
to happen. Well, remember that, KB. I'll be sure to write it on a note and stick it here for tone. Stu, what do you think is going on in Irving?
Clinton, listen, no team has relied on the running game more so than the Dallas Cowboys. Since 1990, when they have a running back who rushes for more than 1,200 yards, they win the division 85% of the time. And the two teams they play the first 2 weeks are two teams inside their own division. Plus, he is running the risk of upsetting what is his best player in Zeke Elliott. And I don't care what anyone says. I would pay top dollar, and so would anyone else on this panel, to watch Zeke Elliott sit out and root for the Cowboys, his friends, to lose the first 2 games so he can get the deal that he wants.
Yeah, it's the guy that's strong. Woodrow, you've watched more football than any of us here. Do you think Jerry's going to come around before the first game of the season?
No, he's mishandling this so badly that he's going to go in and say, oh, we can beat these 3 slugs in the opening 3 games before we have to actually play real teams. What happens Stu Gotch, you said the word upsetting. How about if they're upset by the Giants? How about if they have problems against Washington? I mean, what are they going to do then? They're going to have to just give in to all his demands. I mean, he's the one who's handling this right. He's the one who's got the leverage. Jerry is not showing any sort of urgency. Is that really working out for him? No, they're not even talking. I think the Dallas Cowboys are so mishandling this. They're saying, we don't want to be a tone setter. Well, they did that with Emmitt Smith. They made him the highest paying running back. And what happened? They went to Super Bowls. You think they're going to go to Super Bowls without Ezekiel Elliott? No.
Diana, your thoughts? They're close to this team.
Yeah, but Emmitt Smith is even throwing shade towards what Ezekiel Elliott is doing at this point. Look, I've got no issue with contracts getting done early, but if you're looking to get paid the most, that's the risk you're going to take, Woody, if you want to get this deal done early. In the end, the leverage, Zeke is going to lose it as this continues. It's all in the hands of the Dallas Cowboys. And, guys, I'm not betting against Jerry Jones.
Mr. Blackstone, your thoughts? Last word.
Oh, let's not forget, we just watched Le'Veon Bell, maybe the best overall running back in the NFL, walk away from a team, take a year off. These guys can do this now.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Ezekiel, I know Dallas wants you. I'm not that concerned about it. Last night, Clemson's Trevor Lawrence didn't exactly light the world on fire, but he didn't have to, because Travis Etienne scored 3 touchdowns. But let's not forget how else this shakes out for everybody around the country. Tua is still at Alabama. Jalen Hurts is at Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley's turned out 2 pros, and if Lawrence doesn't pan out, Dabo's up a creek. Woody, which of these guys is under the most pressure to succeed considering their specific situation?
Well, I think it's Jalen Hurts because he transferred from Alabama. Remember, 2 years ago, he came in and won the national championship. He's following Baker Mayfield. He's following Kyler Murray. He's playing on an offense that scores 50, 60 points a game. The over-under on their game for this weekend is 80 points. You don't think Kyler Murray's got a lot going on there for him? I think it's totally, the spotlight should be primarily on him because can he continue the tradition? There. Can he actually make this a positive having transferred? Could he win a Heisman Trophy as a transfer? I mean, I think all of those are possibilities.
Stu, you're in a place where they're turning out all sorts of great football quarterbacks, or at least they used to. What's going on with you on this?
That was many, many decades ago, by the way, Clinton University of Miami. It's been a long time since we've done that. I'm with Woody on this. It's got to be Jalen Hurts, just because Lincoln Riley, the bar has been set so high with what Lincoln Riley can do with a quarterback. He did it with Baker Mayfield. He did it with Kyler Murray. And so the perception is that if you can't play quarterback and play that position well, when Lincoln Riley is the guy whispering in your ear, then you are just not a good quarterback.
Thanks, Stu. We liked that all before when Woodrow told us the whole rundown. Kevin Blackstone, your thoughts about what's going on in college football?
Well, I think it's got to be Tua versus the world. I mean, the last we saw of Tua, he was throwing 2 picks, national championship game, and got outplayed by a freshman at Clemson. And then Jalen Hurts leaves, and we're going to see what he's going to do with Lincoln Riley. And if he goes out there and puts up a Heisman Trophy type of a season, then people in Alabama are going to be looking around going, why do we let this guy go? And why do we still have Tua? Tua's got to be healthy. He's got to take that team back to the national title, and he's got to win the national title back for Alabama.
There's pressure on this team for their each of their college teams, but it's a Sunday issue as well, Diana. What do you think in terms of the spotlight on each of them?
Yeah, KB is brilliant. We know that here on the show. But, guys, taking this from an NFL perspective, going through that lens, tank for Tua, we know it's just a fun phrase fans use. But there are actual organizations in this league who are keeping a close eye on him, who need a quarterback. Miami Dolphins, what are they doing? They, of course, are zoned in on Tua. So the pressure is on him right now to figure out how to get those professional organizations to be all in on him.
Woody, you know, the situation with Trevor Lawrence last night, he didn't exactly light the world on fire. They didn't need him to, but is there any concern there in your regard for Dabo?
No, they established when you got a guy in the backfield who last year was in the top 4 in rushing and he runs for a 90-yard touchdown. If you're the quarterback, you just kind of back off. He did run for a 6-yard touchdown. His numbers were not overwhelming, but I don't think it's a concern. You're just trying to make sure that you just move Georgia Tech out of the way before you get into a conference schedule, and they did it last night in easy style, so I wasn't concerned at all about what.
Stu, I know you got other quarterbacks on your mind in this country. Who you got?
I got Shea Patterson because, listen, Jim Harbaugh, it is strange to me why Jim Harbaugh, we don't talk more about how come he's not on the hot seat.
Thank you. Terrible pants. This was a guy that was a play away
from winning a Super Bowl with the 49ers. Shea Patterson, when he came out of high school, all four of the recruiting services said he was the best pro-style quarterback that was in that class. And Jim Harbaugh needs him to not be good. He needs him to be great for Michigan to be great. And that's where I like my score. 15. Nice.
Diana, you got other quarterbacks too.
Sam Ellinger, Texas. Guys, the last time we talked about a quarterback that actually made a difference at Texas, his name was Colt McCoy, who actually may make a difference in Washington, but that's a different story. Guys, it's been the same song and dance for Texas. The pressure is on for them to perform.
Problem, though, Texas can't beat Maryland, so we're going to move on. Things not off to a great start. UCLA and Chip Kelly, like literally, on the first drive of the game against Cincinnati last night. Look at that. Yeah, that's not great, Bob. Bruins lost to the Bearcats on the road, a serious egg delay for a guy that was once considered a football mind, the likes of which we should genuflect to once he enters the room. However, Bill Plaschke, not the only one in this room, but the only one doing reporting around here, look at this. This is what he had to say from Ohio. You can just hear that gulp. It's like a cartoon. KB, what on earth happened to Charles Edward Kelly?
You know what? It'd be good to find out because, as you just said, this guy was anointed as an offensive genius, and all of a sudden, he's playing. His teams are playing like that. Some people will call him a failure in the NFL. Right now, he's a failure at UCLA. They brought him all in. The only people who are happy about it are Florida Gators fans who are happy now. The Gators didn't apparently sign him. The two good things about what happened last night, one, Cincinnati is a pretty good team. They got a top 20 defense, and they showed that last night. And the only other thing is that 87 players on Chip Kelly's rosters are freshmen and sophomores. So hopefully they can get better in a year if UCLA fans are still around to watch.
Rossini, your thoughts.
Why are we expecting an Oregon resurgent? He was set up to succeed there, right? They had the money. They had the recruits. They had the backing of Nike with just cool uniforms to get those players to want to play there.
Factor.
It all starts with the recruits, and that's where Chip Kelly's got to get better. I say for now, guys, let's just be a little bit patient. But if we expect him to go out here and win more than 9 games, our expectations are way too high for Chip Kelly.
All right. That's not what we do around the horn, by the way. Be patient, Rossini. I know you're not familiar necessarily with shit number 3. Woodrow, your thoughts.
Yeah, it's never been my task in life to be patient. I want to see it now. I want to see results. I want to see a team beat Cincinnati. Hello. Oh, where I'm supposed to be. The good news, KB, is they got 87 freshmen and sophomores. The bad news is they have 87 freshmen and sophomores. People have caught up with Chip Kelly. I mean, where's Chip Kelly been? San Francisco. How'd that work out? Philadelphia. How'd that work out? Leaving Oregon. Everybody else is caught up. Everybody else is doing it. Spread offense. He's not even doing the kind of offense he did in Oregon at UCLA. If you watch that game, it looked like anybody's like garden variety offense, and he can blame his decaffeinated.
All right, enough with that. Stu, last word from you.
I mean, listen, it wasn't too long ago. Back-to-back 10-6 seasons, won a division title with the Eagles. Since then, he is 13-47. He has gone from the future of football to a punchline. That's what Chip Kelly has
done. That is a good line. There's your horn. Here's your break. Who's up? Stu! Look at that! Finally comes back.
Yeah!
Kind of unbelievable. He thinks he's going for back-to-back. He thinks that's going to happen. And he's going to make a 3-for-34. See you on the other side.
Horn brought to you by Chase, coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
We are in love with the Go-Go. The 15-year-old's victory over 26-year-old Tamea Bebos was easily the match of the tournament so far, and it sets up one of the most anticipated tilts in Flushing Meadow in a long time. ESPN's Darcy Main calls it, quote, the U.S. Open matchup we've been waiting for, but on the court, Naomi Osaka is still Naomi Osaka. Who you got to win this, and would you even consider a golf victory an upset, considering the heater she's been on, Woodrow?
Well, I don't want to rain on everybody's parade. Everybody wants Goff to win, but she's not going to. There's a big difference between beating the 112th seed and the number one seed. The last time anybody this young beat a defending champion who's the number one seed happened in 1991. It's not going to happen now.
Stu.
Clinton, listen, like everyone, I'm rooting for Coco Gauff to pull this off. I'm just afraid that Osaka is just too good. She's the best player in the world right now. She's not going to be intimidated by having the entire crowd against her because she experienced that last year in the finals against Serena Williams. And listen, let's be honest here. As great as this story has been, Coco Gauff has struggled three sets in the first two rounds to get...
She's 15, Stu. Cut her a break. KB.
Well, as much as everybody wants to wrap their arms around Coco, let's not forget that Osaka, who we did wrap our arms around with, has struggled since the Australian Open win. I mean, she's had a few retirements. She didn't do well at the French. She didn't do well at Wimbledon. She even wrote a piece on her Twitter account talking about the struggles that she was going through and how she was trying to find her enjoyment in the game again. So she's trying to right her ship, and that's an opportunity for Coco to pull off the upset.
Cassini.
KV, keep her Coco mania. I'm going Osaka all day. No woman has ever defeated a defending champ and a player ranked number one in the world in a major. So this is going to be a big feat. All the celebrities are going to be out there for Coco.
Yes, we like the celebrities.
I don't think it's going to be enough, though.
Coco, Osaka, it's going to be a huge deal in my household. Yesterday on the Horn, can Josh Rosen play well enough in Game 4 to take the starting job? Today on the Horn, Josh Rosen, DNP, Ryan Fitzpatrick, QB1. One could say the head coach Brian Flores has 99. You know what? Never mind. What does this development mean and tell to you, Stu, about your sorta Dolphins?
It means I have concerns about the Dolphin head coach because I don't understand this decision from a new head coach who has total job security. He's not going to get fired after a season. You traded for Josh Rosen. There are questions about whether or not Josh Rosen can be your quarterback for the long term. You know what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. You don't know what Josh Rosen is going to be, and this entire season should be about figuring that out.
KB, your thoughts on Brian Flores in his first year out the gate?
I will suggest that Brian Flores is coaching on eggshells, and the reason is because he's looked around this league and he's seen what's happened to black coaches in the last few years, and he knows that even if he pulled off a winning season, like Caldwell did the other year, he is in jeopardy of getting fired. So I hope that he coaches from confidence and the reasons that got him there, which is what we saw him do as an assistant.
Rossini, you're close to this league once again. What do you think about Flores?
He is trying to build a culture there in Miami. He needs to make a decision based on who is the best quarterback at this point. It is Ryan Fitzpatrick. This is a New England run offense, guys. And what makes this offense different than every other one in the league is it takes a quarterback that is very smart. Why not put a guy from Harvard under center?
Talk. We're here for that. Woodrow, your thoughts on what's going on in Miami.
Yeah. The culture with the Miami Dolphins is like yogurt. I mean, it gives yogurt a bad name. This was a terrible, his first major decision, and he did it wrong. Fitzpatrick, oh yeah, he's thrown passes for 8 different teams. Why has he been on 8 different teams? Because they keep getting rid of him. You start the guy that you brought in to be your quarterback, Rosen.
Decent point, better shirt. We're moving on. Aristides Aquino, Mr. August, last night his 14th home run in August, the most in a calendar month by an NL rookie. That's what happened. Oh, and by the way, there are 2 more games in August. How much stock are you putting into a month like this, KB?
Well, I'm putting in the stock that this guy is going to be a Major League Baseball player, for real. He's not going to do this every month, obviously, but you know what? He's finally turned the corner. He's learned in the minors. He was a Florida State League Player of the Year when he was in the minors, so he is going to be a serviceable guy for the Rays.
Diana.
Clinton, these balls are juiced. This is a player who in the minor leagues averaged less than 14 home runs this season, and now he hits 14 in 1 month. This is the biggest story in baseball right now. We are going to see the home run record busted up over the next 2-3 years because
the balls aren't juiced. The core is recentered. It is a different thing. It is one of manufacture. Woodrow, your thoughts.
Kevin, you're already ready to rate Diana and Stu Gotts after 1 month that they're actually going to be great players here? I don't think so. Now, how about, let's see what he does in September. Let's see what he does next year for a month or two. I mean, let's don't declare him a Hall of Famer yet based on 1 month after he was a Rule 5 player and nobody wanted him except Cincinnati.
Stu.
I'm going to defend Rossini here. The numbers are skewed. The center core, baseball, whatever you call it, Clinton. I don't care. Christian Yelich had
going
54
the wrong way.
Homers his first 5 years. Christian Yelich, 54 homers his first 5 years with the Marlins. He had 77 in less than 2 years with the Brewers. I have no idea if what Aquino is doing is impressive or not.
Stu
saves the day there. Almost found himself in the ditch, yes. Questioning my knowledge about baseball. Diana, love you. Get to the shore. Woodrow, gotta go. Find a Taylor. Brooks Brothers. Yeah. When we come back, Stu goes for two in a row, and KB, the professor, we'll see what he has to say about that. We'll see you on the other side.
There's Crispy. And then there's Crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Monsieur Monfils, have you ever seen anything like this? Turning the U.S. Open into a dunk contest. Stu, has tennis been forever changed?
Yes, I want tennis to be like that all the time. Unfortunately, the ball is rarely lobbed up like that where a guy could do that. I want tennis to be like that all the time. I'll remember that more than I'll remember any of Roger Federer's majors.
It could be that. It could be a lot more like that if Monfils, who has as much athletic talent as anyone we've ever seen in the game of tennis, would actually advance in some tournaments. He's 32 years old now, and he's still only been in two semifinals.
Points.
Come on, kid.
Stu. Russell Wilson's calling plays. I wonder if he would call a pass from the 1 yard line. That's a joke, see, because they would have won another Super Bowl. Tom Brady and Julian Edelman are doing some yoga as well. Things to do on the sideline for the fourth preseason game. Who spent their time better, KB?
Oh, it's definitely Tom Brady. He's the only member here, only person on this show who was a member of the Dallas Yoga Center for a while. You know that it's all about the balance and the core strength to keep you going forward in this tough sport.
I know nothing about yoga. I'm not certain that was yoga, but Tom Brady's got 6 rings. So, I mean, who am I to speak? But Brady is always making better use of his time than Russell Wilson is.
That's not yoga. He is the GOAT. Stu, 2 for 2. It? You did it, player.
Yeah! Back to back. Wow. I want to talk a little tennis today. I don't think, and people, please enjoy it while it's happening, okay? Serena Williams and Roger Federer. If I told you 10 years ago those two would still be at the very top of this sport, we would have laughed me out of the room. They still are. They're still great. Enjoy it while it's still here. I cannot believe that Roger Federer and Serena Williams still getting it done at their ages. Impressive. Enjoy it because it ain't going to be here forever.
All right, that's going to do it, folks. Thanks for coming around. We're off Monday. We are back on Tuesday. You know who else is going to be here on Tuesday? Tony is. So we'll see you then. Let's get it.
Oh,
almost.
Back to back.